Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Morning, everybody, those that are on the West Coast, and good afternoon, everyone that's on, well, the East Coast. Thank you for joining us today here. I hope you enjoy the service. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh, I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel.
Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. He will desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. And Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel.
The day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is
Love.
somebody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Love one another, 1 John 4:7-8.
Good morning. We have some people in our house today, so praise the Lord and thank you for coming. So, this week has been a particularly trying week for me with my daughter. And this morning I was sitting listening to the other services, and the scripture that I used to have on my daughter's door, which apparently she has removed, is Proverbs 22, verse 6. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a hopeful scripture, because if I look at the way I was raised, there were some mistakes made. In fact, there were lots of mistakes made. If I look at the way I've raised my daughter so far, there've been a lot of mistakes. You know, you see it in her every day, the mistakes you make. I see it in myself, the mistakes my parents made. But this morning, sitting on the couch, thinking about that scripture, the Lord showed me that I am here, serving Him. I'm 40, and I'm here serving Him. My daughter's 8. I was 8 when I was really brought into the church. And it wasn't really a profitable thing until I joined this ministry in 2001. And I consider that my conversion to Christianity, truthfully. But when I was 8, from when I was 8 until 26, I was in the church. I was in the church every time the doors were open. Every time the doors were open. And it wasn't just one church. I church hopped quite a bit. I never found a place that I fit. So I just church hopped. But I was thinking this morning about the fact that I am here today. And my mother took me to church whenever the doors were open. That was the only thing she knew to do. That was the only thing she knew as a parent to do for her child. And she was a new believer in Christ. So she took me to church. And the testimony today is that I serve Jesus Christ. I have to tell you, the relief that I felt this morning was overwhelming. Because as a parent, especially in my opinion, as a homeschooling parent, it can be, I am not prepared for this. I am not prepared for this job. I am not able in and of myself to fulfill this task set before me. But I know that if I lean onto His word and unto His, the truth that He says, if you raise them up in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's not that they won't stray. They have choices to make too. But if you do what is required of you, when they are old, they will come back to Him and follow Him, and they will remember what they learned. That is a blessed hope that I now have for my daughter and that I can hold on to in those daily trials that come upon me, those daily fears of, I'm going to screw this up. I can't do this. I'm a high school dropout. I can't do this. But His word says, with God, we can do all things. All things are possible. So then I can do it. As long as I'm leaning unto Him and not unto my own understanding. You sang a song this morning. I believe Yes, you did. You sang several, and several of them were in similar lines, but 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Let me see. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also so to love one another. I have been thinking about the word love because there are different meanings. There are different types of love. There's agape love, which is the kind of love Jesus had for us. He sacrificed himself for us. He died on the cross so that we could have free will and choice and liberty and eternal life. There's philios love, which is what we generally have towards each other. You know, we love our children. We love our spouses. It's a love of feeling. And there's eros, which is what a husband has towards his wife. That sexual love, or that, am I right, Rick? That's, yeah, okay.
We don't need more detail.
No. But it's the philios love, it's the agape love, the love of choice. That is the one we need. We need to have that for one another. And we need to choose Jesus. Because without Jesus, we can do nothing. There was another scripture I looked up. I wasn't sure how any of this was going to go together. Let me just tell you. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I talked to Rick about that this morning, and I was saying, we can do nothing without Jesus. And he said, but that's not what it says. It doesn't say we can do nothing. It says, I am nothing. Without charity, without Christ, without love, agape love, we are nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. Those are some pretty awesome examples of what we are to be towards one another, towards our children, towards our spouses, as an example to the world. Long-suffering, kind, not envying, not thinking ourselves better, not being puffed up, arrogant, not behaving unseemly, not seeking our own, not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Oh dear, let's just end it right there. Well, when he said that, he must have meant this. That's called thinking evil. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never fails.
Sue comes to me this morning and says, I don't have a clue what I'm going to speak on today. And I quickly jump her case before she even has a chance to finish that statement. I preached on this not too long ago. That phrase, I don't have a clue, what a bunch of hooey. It's absolutely not true, and it's even more so not true when we're talking about Jesus. We always have something good to talk about Jesus. We always have something good to share about Jesus. You know, to say, I don't have a clue, is actually offensive. So I did not give her any space with that. You hearing that fan noise? Don't worry about it. It's something over there blowing. Don't worry about it. But we always have something good to share about Jesus. When you talk about love, Sue, and you're talking about charity, it's that agape love, that love of choice. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on how you make me feel or how I make you feel or how our daughter makes us feel. It's that we choose to. And if you want to get a good handle on love, all you got to do is look at Jesus. Because he is the perfect example of what it is to love. You know, one of the scriptures that comes to me often is when Jesus is in the garden and he's praying to his Father. He says, Lord, if it be possible to take this cup, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. That's love. To set aside, Naomi, sit up, stop playing with the dog. To set aside our agenda to do what the Father's will would be is what we're called to do as believers. The question that was coming to me today was, who do we think God is? And what I mean by that is, what do we consider is the character and nature of God? And before you answer that question, realize that your life either testifies towards you or for you or against you. Because you will by default live the answer. If you believe God's character and God's nature is one of love, and that is love towards you, then you will trust him. You will believe him. You will follow him. You will be obedient to him. And you will make his agenda your agenda. If you don't, then you won't. And that's a really hard realization to come to. And it's one that I've been wrestling with and struggling with. Sue mentioned about parents. I have been extraordinarily blessed. Some people would not see it as such. And there are times in my life I have not seen it as such. But my father loves me. And it's not because he gave me a beautiful Gretsch guitar. Although, I like that guitar. And the Gibson next to it. But he loves me, and the reason I know he loves me is because he doesn't care, in this sense. I hope you guys can hear what I'm saying. He doesn't care about me in this life, per se. He cares about my life eternal. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sue, you grew up with a dad that loved you as he knew to love you. That love was a filios love. It was based on this world and all it could have to offer. And most parents, Ben and I were talking about homeschooling and our responsibilities as parents to our children. And so much of the emphasis is to build them up in the strengths of this world. And most people, that's all they know is this world. But there's another world that is far more permanent and far more important than this world. And it's that world. It's that life, eternal with Christ, that is the most important thing for us. Your dad loved you as best you could, as best he could in what he knew, and it unfortunately was a filios love based on all this world had to offer and did not take into account the next world. Now, as parents, what happens is our children are going to take the attributes that we show them and they are going to impute those attributes on God. So as Naomi gets older, she is going to, this scares me, she is going to put the character and nature of how I train her, how I teach her, how I love her, she is going to put that on God. And she is going to see God as that nature, as having the same nature. So how much more critical is it for me to make sure that I impart unto her the seriousness, not of this life, but of the life to come? You know, our Heavenly Father knows we have needs here. I'm not saying we ignore here, but it's not the goal. He knows we have needs, and he's provided, made provision for that. Just like I provide for my daughter, she is not without anything that she needs. She's without a lot of things she wants. But just like God says no to me, I say no to her. Why? Because I know it's good for her to not have that thing and learn some lessons, diligence, patience, long-suffering. Today, the word diligence was used in the Texas service. Diligence is such an important attribute of our walk with the Lord. If you don't have diligence to follow through in that commitment, you won't make it to the end. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that word patience isn't the sort of connotation that you have today where you just wait and sit around and do nothing. No, that run with patience is actually means the determination to bring it to completion. And that is what we need to have in our hearts. So you talk about love and we compare it to Jesus. He says, it says in his word that for the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross, despising the shame. The Lord has put himself or allowed himself to be put on that cross for the redemption of my sins and your sins. And his blood washes away the transgressions of our lives. And that message of love is the same message that we are given to take out to others. In the same way I try and relate to Naomi the critical importance of God's grace and his love and his mercy, I want her to take that out when she gets older, or now preferably, to others. When I go back and I think about who do I think God is, for many, many years, I didn't see God as a benevolent, caring father. I saw him as a mean, not so nice person. And that's no fault of my father. My father did everything he could and continues to do everything he needs to do to show me the love of Christ. But when my perspective was on the things of this world and the importance of them, I took that love as being mean, etc., etc. I didn't see it for love. But as the Lord has worked on my heart and has changed and begun to change my perspective and is changing my perspective to see the how worthless and insignificant and unimportant the things of this life are, my perspective of God and my Father has changed. Because it's not about being successful or having a lot of money or having a big house and all that stuff here. It's about standing in heaven and hearing, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." There's nothing that I can imagine that would be more sweet than hearing those words. Not only for myself, but also for my daughter and my wife to hear those same words. So I'll ask y'all again, what do you think is the character and nature of God? I know that his word says, in him that is God, there he is light and there is no darkness at all. None. Zero. Zero darkness. That God is love. What greater love can a man have than this, that he lay down his life for his friends? God has indisputably demonstrated his love. So we know the character and nature of God is love, and one of redemption, and one of provision, and one of health, and one of a sound, you know, hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. We know all these things, the good things of God, he has made available, not only for us now, but for life eternal, and life eternal even being that. We know this. So when we would see the correction of God, or we would see the word of God as anything other than love, we can know the red flag needs to go up. And we've missed the point. Our eyes aren't where they need to be. Our heart's not on what it needs to be on. And here's the beautiful, awesome thing about God. See, I do not see myself as a great father, because you know what? I get impatient. I at times will want to bite my little girl's head off. I do. She came to me today and I was trying to pay attention and she was interrupting me and I was about to just go postal. You know, I think God, if he was a man, would want to go postal with me a lot. But if he had my nature, let me put it that way. But he has had continued grace and mercy and patience for me. And I know that when I do get off track and I do get out of bounds and I come back to him and I say, "Lord, forgive me," you know what? He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that, again, demonstrates the amazing love of God. The amazing love of God. And that gift, that provision, that love is there for all that would receive it. Amen. All that would receive it, it's already been done. It's already been accomplished, and it's right there. It's right there. I find myself singing this song a lot, so hopefully you all don't get tired of it, but It's just such a great song.
I will never let you go. You're taking me from the miry clay. You've set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Oh, you've taken me from the miry clay. You've set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. You created me a clean heart. Spirit within me, created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. From me, restore unto me, oh, the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Salvation and renew.
and renew a right spirit within me.
Everybody, thank you all for joining us today, and hope you have a great and blessed week.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.